If you're calling east of the Rockies, dial 206-337-8802. Calling west of the Rockies, dial 206-337-8802. If you're calling from underneath the Rockies, say in some kind of secret government bunker, dial 206-337-8802. If the calls are coming from inside the house, dial 206-337-8802. Wildcard line, dial 206-337-8802. If you're calling because your girl likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time, dial 206-337-8802. If you're calling because your pants are encrusted in semen due to constant jacking off while being unable to find a rape victim, dial 206-337-8802. No fat chicks line at 206-337-8802. If you happen to be Slatering it or doing the Rocket Man, dial 206-337-8802. And of course, if you want to talk cock with the Hawk, please dial 206-337-8802. This is the Ed Hawkins Show, proud supporter of Chocolate Covered Jesus.
From the creators of Peanut Butter Filled Moses comes Chocolate Covered Jesus. You can find it in any of your local candy stores between the Chocolate Covered Santa and the Chocolate Covered Easter.
Chocolate Covered Jesus, chocolate all the time. Chocolate Covered Jesus, and I'm feeling fine. Chocolate Covered Jesus, with peanuts and hot fudge. Listen to what he says, but not what he does.
Many bad things.
Hey, Rob, Dead Hawk. Would you ever be willing to wear a V-neck?
Brain Dead Radio presents.
They destroyed everything he had, everything that he was. Now, all that stands between a city and a disaster is a man who's been out of action for 30 years. Crime has a new enemy.
You really are crazy.
Get ready to rock.
This is the Ed Hawkins Show. Joining me this week is actually a new guest. Randall is not here this time. Is actually a very good friend of mine, a friend that actually shares many traits with our current president of these here United States, a gentleman by the name of Steve. How you doing, Steve?
Very good, Ed. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's not at all. It's certainly a pleasure. I know you're coming from a little bit of a distance here. All the way out in Eagle Rock, and it's great to have you on. Just to let you know, Steve went to Occidental College, northeast downtown. It's like in what? Where is that located exactly?
It's actually in the middle of Eagle Rock. It's between Glendale and Pasadena. It's this little college town, Eagle Rock, and it's slowly becoming more
gentrified.
Yeah,
is a lot. Does it have a lot of hipsters? Is it like Silver Lake or?
It's starting to look that way. Yeah, yeah.
I see. And then the other thing that you share with our very well famed president is the fact you were actually you were from Hawaii, yes?
Oh yes.
Where are you from in Hawaii, by the way?
I was born in the main island, Oahu, it's called.
Okay, is that where Honolulu is located?
Or? Yeah, it's the same island that Lost is filmed on.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh okay, but you weren't there at the time of filming, I guess, or?
No, I'm never there when any. Of the stars from Lost are there.
When did you come to LA, and why did you come over here?
Well, I moved out here in 2001 to go to college.
Okay.
So I went there from 2001 to 2005.
Right.
And then I just really liked how big Los Angeles is and how much there is to do here. And I don't know if you realize this about Hawaii, but it's an island. So
many islands, yes. I've seen it on the map, yes.
Yeah. Eventually, you run out of stuff to do.
Yeah, that's a good question to me. Now, did you grow up in Honolulu, or did you grow up outside of there? Where'd you grow up, actually?
Well, I live in the small little, suburb city called Aiea. Okay. It's famous because it's the only city in the world composed entirely of vowels. So,
well, I know the state fish is about 24 letters, and 3/4 of that is vowels, and that's because there's 12 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet.
That's right.
So the only claim I have relation to Hawaii is that where I went to school, the current governor is an alumni of the school. But, oh, and I did want to mention one other thing. This is kind of a funny story. Is the fact where I used to work with the guy I basically referred to as the office Smithers. You know, the guy was a real twat. He had a real BO problem on top of that. It really pissed me off that he was able to get dates. And he is the nephew of the longest-serving mayor of Honolulu. In fact, his uncle that guy's name is on the municipal building over there.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if you maybe came across that or you're familiar with the guy's name. You know, you can easily look this up on Wikipedia to find out who the longest-serving mayor of Honolulu is. But that's my only other connection. I've never been to Hawaii, and I know it's an incredibly beautiful place. You've been there, you know, you've lived there most of your life. You know how it is. But to me, as much as I enjoy beauty, it's hard for me because it's like, well, what else is there to do? For you, even as a kid, you know, even though it's so beautiful, you know, you must have been bored out of your goddamn mind. So how was that? Anyway?
Sometimes. I mean, there is not a lot to do unless you love going to the beach or hiking, surfing, something else
surf
I don't know. No, I never bothered to learn. Mm-hmm. But I do know how to swim, which I'm realizing
of course.
A lot of people don't know how to do here in
Shocking, yes.
Yeah, Los Angeles.
Yes.
And so I spent most of my time going to the mall.
Like every other red-blooded American, yes.
Right. Spent all my money on comic books and arcade games. Okay. And I spent a lot of time bowling and playing pool.
Now, any particular arcade games that you liked or anything that sticks out in your mind? Because you know how it is today that arcades are pretty much dying out. So we know that that's pretty much a pastime. I can think of maybe two arcades around here. And there hasn't been an arcade game I could think of. I mean, they have the latest that the games are in the arcades are probably from 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you really dropped a lot of money on? Or was like, because I remember like Die Hard, the arcade game, or anything like that.
Oh, well, I'm a big fan of the X-Men series. So anytime the X-Men genre came out with a new video game, I dropped my allowance on it.
Yes,
like
I remember that. Did you have the one with the two monitors, or was it just the standalone cabinet?
Oh, the one with the 6 players?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I spent
I remember that one.
Weekends there all the time.
Yes. Yes, no one can defeat the blob. something like that. I know I just registered a fail right there, but like I said, I know it's people think, "Oh, it's going to be so cool studying in Hawaii and and all that." And people I think what other misconceptions do you think people have over there other than the fact we know it's hot a lot and the fact that even though we're on the West Coast and we have to deal with a 3-hour delay on stuff, it's even worse in Hawaii because they're even 2 hours earlier on everything. So is there any other things that you've come across that think this person has no idea what they're talking about when it comes to Hawaii?
No, I mean, people pretty much seem to have, the only misconception that people seem to have about Hawaii is that it's beautiful. Yeah. Why would you ever want to leave?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. It's Shangri-La, and it's actually not.
I have to imagine now, you grew up near Honolulu, which is obviously the area for Hawaii, because it's really the only major urban area that I know of anyway. It must be a pain to say if you lived on one of the other islands and like you wanted to do something, it's like, well, how the hell do you get over? Do you have to take a ferry or do you have to take a plane?
Oh, yeah. Well, we actually don't have a ferry. We used to for like a small amount of time, for like 3 months. We had one last year, but it went out of business like many other things do in Hawaii.
Right.
And so most of the time you just take the plane. So
really?
It's only a 20-minute flight.
Okay.
And it's pretty cheap. We went there for summer sometimes for summer camp. And but here's something else that I guess a lot of people wouldn't know is that on the other islands, if you're not living on Oahu, there's not a lot to do past 9 p.m.
I went
on a trip to Maui with some friends,
right.
And we were staying with their parents and one of my friend's parents, and we tried to do something past 9. This is when we were 16, 17.
Okay.
And there was nothing to do. Everything was closed, and everyone was asleep.
I hear the very same thing about San Francisco, oddly enough, and I have to imagine also what it was like this in Hawaii, because I know around here a lot of stuff is spread out. It's very hard if you do not have a car. So was it that way when you were in Hawaii, or could you at least walk to stuff, or did you have to like drive everywhere? Even though like the islands are kind of tiny, and I imagine the roads are really windy. Was that like the case, or?
No, we actually have a pretty good public transportation system.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
I got around a lot just on the bus. My bus pass and
right. It's Honolulu, like kind of, obviously it's like a city of a million people, but it's very close together and everything. It's definitely not like LA, I imagine, right? Not that spread out, because obviously you have space, you can't go that far.
I would say there are a lot of places that you can get to in Honolulu, mm-hmm. but it's just one city in right. on our giant island. And even though you can drive around the whole island in maybe like a day, mm-hmm. 8 hours total,
right.
and see everything, you would need a car to do all that.
Okay. And then the other thing is that obviously, even though Honolulu is a city of a million people, there's not, if you want to go out, there's not much to do, I imagine, correct? Regardless of what you want to do. Now, there's a funny story behind that, because when I used to be into the industrial scene, I knew this guy that went to Hawaii on vacation, and he actually wanted to find a goth industrial club. He actually found one, and he absolutely hated it. Now, I'm not talking about industrial this time around, but even if you wanted to just go out, it doesn't matter what you're into. I imagine there's not much of a scene, regardless of what you're into, right?
Yeah, it's mostly when I...
It's stuff, right?
Hip-hop. Well, if you want to go, there are clubs. Mm-hmm. In my experience, it's mostly been hip-hop, R&B, all the really popular stuff that you can
find
here.
That's kind of surprising to think Hawaii is a big hip-hop thing, but that's like everywhere else. I'm just kind of like, whoa, that's something. But I did not know that. So there you go. Something has been learned already. But what else do you remember?
I remember this is something I realized just recently, is that we don't get a lot of selection in our movies.
Okay.
In Los Angeles, you see, we have all these like independent film festivals.
Right.
And,
I could draw it because I saw this on the road as I was driving, a Polish film festival. I don't even think we have a Polish community in this town, and we somehow have a Polish film festival. I have to imagine, but yeah, you're right. And I've talked about this on other episodes. We've had the New Beverly. We've had their other, as they're called, rep houses. Even the Arclight will show stuff that's not always majorly run. I imagine where you lived, all the way in Hawaii, there's not, because effectively, as beautiful as Hawaii is, because it's so far away, that's like basically dealing, you're almost like in the sticks. Beautiful sticks, but it is almost, would you consider the fact that it is like being, it's basically like being like the middle of, the Midwest or something, in terms of like, what you can get in terms of culture? Would that be right? Or I would, but then I've heard like, with Hawaii, because you're all the way out, towards Asia, you'd still, you could get other stuff that the States doesn't. Is that like that, or you ever,
No, I would say that we're not like the Midwest. I mean, yeah. We do have a lot of culture, mm-hmm. but it's just that we would see, like, ads for movies on TV
right.
that we would never get here in Hawaii. Bank of America, Hawaii's, yeah. America's Bank.
Right.
Is not in Hawaii.
Well, you have the Bank of Hawaii. I looked
yes,
this up.
We have our own.
You have your own bank, and
I think that's why many people confuse us for being our own country. We have our
own. Well, you were your own country briefly till we busted it and took it, courtesy of CNH Sugar. So, back all the way back in the 1800s when you did have a king. So, knowing the history that I know, you had that. And then we busted it in and took it. Now, I don't refer to myself because my forebears were being pushed around in Europe somewhere, all across Europe. I can't even nail it down. So, it's something to hear. Because at least Hawaii, unlike Alaska, has something going for it. Alaska is really just, I hear it's beautiful, but after that whole Palin thing, I just view them as a bunch of frozen hicks. Hawaii is its own deal, and as I said, our presidents now are from there, and so
that's
that
right.
gives that place a whole new respect. As I said, not only that, the fact you share you share the same school.
That's right.
Even though he was there only for 2 years, but still. Now, what was that like going to a small liberal college? Because that's what I hear also down. Now, my gym teacher went there, and I heard that was good. What did you study exactly?
I studied English Lit mm-hmm. and Comparative Studies, and okay. I also minored in Japanese.
Really?
So
do you still speak
it? Part of my cultural heritage, yes.
That's good.
I understand it better than I speak it, because I live here, and not a lot of people speak Japanese, so I don't really have the opportunity to practice.
Yes, you're about not only, well, see, in terms of Japanese, you're about 20 years too late. This was at the time, 20 to 25 years too late, when everyone thought at the time the Japanese were going to take over everything. Now it's China, but anyway. but not only that, I mean, going back to our city's history, we used to have an incredibly huge Japanese population. I mean, this goes back to all the way, you know, unfortunately, the days of Pearl Harbor and the internment camps. You know, we still have little Tokyo to this day, but back then, farm workers and hired labor was actually Japanese and Asian, as opposed to it is now, which is Latino. So it's you know, we did, I mean, because, you know, LA is a Pacific Rim city, and we had, you know, those cultural influences. But I had no idea that you did study Japanese. That is impressive. My former college roommate was trying to study Japanese, and I think he's continuing to do it. I know there was a great book I had recently read called Shutting Out the Sun, which was about basically this whole group in Japan, because Japan's been under economic stress for like at least over like 15 years, but at least basically since the early 90s. So there's this whole group of people that basically have dropped out of society. And in the book, it's the idea of, you know, because they're talking about the cultural differences of Japan and the United States. And, well, not so much that, but there's a chapter towards the end where they compare it to Japan and Korea and, you know, how the societies are structured. And it was really fascinating. And I highly recommend anyone to check it out. I don't know if you read that book. But, how was it trying to learn Japanese? Was that, you know, I imagine it must have been very tough, obviously.
I guess it's like any other language. Mm-hmm. You just have to know the alphabet, because it's written completely differently.
Of course.
Study, and just try and practice it as much as you can, and eventually pick it up. I suggest for anyone who's studying a foreign language to go to the country where they speak the language and immerse yourself in it.
Did you do that in this case with Japanese? Do you have family there, or are you more as the, you know, because I know some people from Hawaii will refer to themselves as Hawaiian rather than, because it's just the mix of cultures.
I do have family there, but I have never seen them. So,
have you been to Japan?
I have. I actually went to visit a friend who actually is a English language teacher in Japan, and I went to go stay with him, and he's white.
Okay.
So it's very funny that he knows more Japanese than I do.
Well, it's funny you even mention that, because speaking of another book I just recently read, was called Tokyo Vice, and this book was about, this was a guy, a Jewish guy, so I can relate, some dude from Missouri named Jake Adelstein, and this guy wanted to, you know, he loved Japan, he studied Japanese, he decided to become a journalist for, I forgot the name of it, I just remembered it's just Shinbun, this news, basically the major Tokyo Daily, and became a crime reporter in Japan. Great book, Tokyo Vice. I highly recommend it. I know I've mentioned it on the Braindead Radio forums, but once again, I cannot recommend this book enough. It's really, really good. Because not only does he deal with the basic, you know, obviously, once again, you're dealing with an entirely different culture, an entirely different way of doing things, but he's also, he basically encounters the Yakuza, and then also human trafficking. And it's really, really good. I highly recommend that book. And when did you go to Japan, anyway?
I actually went March of 2009.
Okay. Did you stay in Tokyo, or were you just in another part of the country?
Oh, I stayed in Tokyo, which was really fortunate for me. I got to see all the basic major cities in Tokyo and saw all the...
Did you go to... So you went to Osaka and Yokohama and all that, or... Was there, like, any difference in the cities, or... You know,
oh, well, Tokyo is really
huge,
compact.
Yeah,
but everything is so compact. It's a lot comparable to living in New York, I imagine, because all the buildings are built really tall.
Right.
Everything is really scrunched together. I stayed mostly in the city, so I didn't... Yokohama and the other place that you mentioned is
Osaka?
Osaka. That's actually a different island.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I have no concept of Japanese geography, as you can tell, because I'm a boorish American, so...
Gaijin.
Yes. Oh, very much so. But that's why I'm trying to make my way to the English foreign-speaking countries and eventually work my way towards the other countries. But I'm trying to get to Europe first.
So
I'm not trying to be the typical loud American tourist, like, where the food court at? Is this where you go to get the the stuff, yeah, you know. So you don't want to do that. You know, for me, I'm very reluctant because I know for me, just to go on a tangent, I wanted to go to Brazil, and I always am concerned because I really want to learn Portuguese to check that place out because that place fascinates the holy hell out of me.
Uh-huh.
Check that out. But in terms of what, you know, how was it in Japan? Was that the first time you had gone, or
it was actually my first time out of the country? Period. Mm-hmm. I had been invited to go out of the country earlier that year to visit for a friend's wedding, but I couldn't because I didn't get my passport in time.
Right.
So I made the decision to say, you know, fuck it, I'm gonna go to another country. Where can I go? Where do I want to go? Who do I know that can save me money?
Yeah, exactly.
Finding a hotel.
Yeah.
So I figured, I know my friend in Japan, so I'll go stay with him.
Okay.
And he was nice enough to house me.
Right.
And show me around.
That's good.
And we managed to get there during the Spring Cherry Blossom Festival, which is
fantastic.
Like a national holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You can see all the
Flowers bloom.
Yeah, flowers.
Yeah, there's a similar thing in D.C., and I only know this because my sister is going to school over there, that they do have the annual cherry blossoming down in D.C., where they will go ahead and, you know, you get to see the beautiful flowers. And I heard this was actually a national holiday.
Yeah, it's that the cherry blossom trees in D.C. are actually a gift from Japan.
That's right, yes. And what did you think of it? I mean, when being obviously it's a completely different culture. Did you have any culture shock or anything like that? Or
they say the Japanese can tell when you're a Japanese American,
right?
Even when you're in Japan and you're immersed with all the others, there's like something that you can. There's an aura you give off.
Yeah, right.
And I guess it's in your language and your accent.
Of course, yeah.
So when they hear you speak, they want you to speak in English so that they can practice, because English is actually a very sought-after skill in Japan, which is why my friend, who's an English teacher, makes
English.
So much money there.
Right.
So they will take any opportunity to learn English and speak with you, and they actually get a little upset when you try to speak their language.
It's like, no kidding.
It's like,
then did you try speaking the language over there, or what?
I did.
Well,
I tried to say,
to get around, you know?
Where's the bathroom?
Right.
How much is this?
Yes. So many thousands of yen. So
where am I?
Okay. Did you encounter any of the... Because I know the one thing I was reading about in Shutting Out the Sun was that there's an... The one thing, at least in Japan, is that there's a huge number of choices on everything. Like, say you went to the... Because they have beer vending machines, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, we're going to get this out of the way. Did you encounter any vending machine that sold used panties?
No, I did not.
Okay, good. I'm not expecting you to check. I just figured we'd get that out of the way because I know I'm going to be asked about that after the episode is done. But I will say, I mean, because I imagine you must have... Did you do any drinking over there while you were there?
A little.
Okay.
Japan does celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
You're kidding.
It's very...
Do they wear green?
Not a lot of people know about it to celebrate it, but we fortunately found a bar that did celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and we all did wear green. We got Kirin beer half off.
Okay, I had Sapporo. That was pretty good, actually. That, you know, good. I mean, it's dry, but it's good.
And
it's very good.
Yeah, and we did stay out drinking a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but we couldn't stay out too late because a lot of Japan's mass transit system,
right?
Their public transportation, which they're known for.
Yeah, of course.
Stops.
You have to get. You can't drive in Japan. You'd be nuts.
It stops and shuts down at midnight.
Really?
So
wait,
if you want to do anything in Japan, you have to have it all done by midnight.
You're kidding.
Or call a cab
home,
which is ridiculously expensive and is not worth it.
Wow, Black Rain has totally lied to us in terms of what we can see in Japan. I mean, I would think, because it seems like every time you see a thing of Japan, you always see the city lit up, full-blown neon. You think, this is all night, all day. You know, how are you supposed... And, you know, I mean, if... I mean, you're basically saying that Tokyo Drift has lied to us, and the fact that there's this all-night stuff going on. I mean, that surprises me.
The fact that you can't even go out. The businesses are open past midnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the mass transit system shuts down.
Crap.
And since so many people rely on the mass transit system...
Of course.
You know, you have to really get done if you want to get home.
That's unbelievable. I never knew that. That is shocking. I mean, did you go out, or did you just, you know, I mean, you were with friends, and you didn't really know where you were going. You didn't want to... getting involved in any crazy business, I imagine, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent most of my time out sightseeing during the day, so by the time night came around, by like 9 o'clock, I was pretty wiped. Right. So.
Now the curious thing I'd like to know is because I know we had this thing, I don't know if this is still going on, where, you know, people would wear, you know, shirts with basically, you know, like they would have like some, you know, various, you know, kanji, I think it is, or various, you know, Asian language symbols on their clothes. Mm-hmm. I had heard that there was actually a similar thing. It was the reverse in Japan, where they basically had random English words strung together.
And it's
that's a trademark. I mean, we all know that very famous video game of like, you know, all your base belong to us. It's classic, as they call it, English.
English.
So we're just, it makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, because people will do that. You'll see this online where you'll see various signs of like, and they try to translate it word for word, and it just makes no sense because obviously the syntax is going to be wrong, and you're never going to get an exact meaning because the really amorphous nature of that language. So did you see anything like that? Like,
yes.
I imagine there must have been a lot of like English curse words floating around. I bet.
No. Oh, there's really? Very famous store that sells clothes, men's clothes, mm-hmm. and it's called Store My Ducks.
And it's D-U-C-K-S.
Yeah.
Ducks is quack quack. Okay, not D-U-X.
No.
I had heard there was actually a clothing store called Van Nuys. I read this somewhere, and I didn't know I didn't know where it was. I know it's some district, but I just hadn't heard of such a thing. So I even asked this one guy I work with at my work, who is half Japanese, half Latino, and he had gone to Japan, loves the holy hell out of it, and he himself did not find it. Aww. So I don't know, but I just think that was really, really something. I mean, for me, I know Japan is an amazing place. I mean, it's got its own issues. I mean, it's a very insular culture from what I hear, you know, and I mean, hell, they didn't have foreigners for several hundred years, so of course they're not going to, you know, of course it's going to be insular. And it's obviously they have their own spin on things, which is the, you know, classic thing with like all the holidays, you know, we call it annual gift man and all that stuff, because Christianity does not really exist. I mean, this is going to be another stupid question, but was there still a lot of dyeing of the hair brown? I always noticed that when I was in school, we had Japanese exchange students and
who dyed their hair brown?
Yeah, dyed their hair brown. It would, rather than because their hair would be black, they would just dye it brown. Did you see any of that, or was it still going on, or just any wild colors?
I did a little. It's like not very common there because a lot of, they're very conservative.
Yeah.
But there are a few people who had pink hair,
mm-hmm.
Yellow, orange.
Okay.
I haven't seen brown, but okay. I think.
And
that's
you didn't account buy any weird DVDs or anything like that? Well, of course the DVDs wouldn't have worked when you came back, but you didn't buy any weird items or just see anything odd or anything like that?
No. I did buy a lot of stuff for my friends, but it's just gimmicky Japanese stuff.
Okay, there so was we can cross hentai off the list then. Want to clear that off for the audience because they would be asking. We want to get rid of that.
There is a store in Japan out in the open, and it's called Condom Mania.
Okay.
I thought it originally said Condomania because it's all
latex
one word.
Latex condom, okay.
But they actually sell condoms, and they have this little condom-looking mascot.
Okay.
It looks like a giant balloon penis with like its cute hands and legs.
Now, is this an inflated condom or is it the penis?
Yes, it would be an inflated condom.
Okay, it's a condom, not an actual anthropomorphic penis.
Yeah, and it's in the middle of the shopping district, right next to the Capcom building, or something like that, or right next to the toy store in Japan.
Right.
So I thought that was very interesting how they're not really that kind of store would be there.
Well, you know, it's funny, speaking about Japan, that a lot of people, you know, this one of the many stereotypes is that, you know, the Japanese are a bunch of, you know, sick fucks when it comes to, you know, comes to sexual stuff. Now, according to Shutting Out the Sun, it's surprising to find out, despite how sexualized things appear to be, is that, according to this book, that there's actually less sex going on than in the States, despite how sexualized the culture appears to be. Now, that I found fascinating. I also, what was put to rest was the whole stereotype of that, you know, Japanese men and that of Asian males are kind of small when it comes to the business down there. Also disproven. It's actually average, apparently. Although one individual on the boards, now you wouldn't know who this guy is, by a gentleman by the name of Nerdius, he is clearly an exception. Not that I've seen any pictures. I don't want to deal with the guy, but, you know, I've been told that the whole thing about the small wang, completely untrue. So it's, you know, it's relation to, you know, your size. I'm not asking about you. You know, me, I'm standard issue equipment, so I got nothing to brag about. But yeah, apparently it's not as you think, because as I said, it would be as sexualized as it appears to be. You know, there'd be constant fucking all day and night, and that apparently it is not the case. For one thing, it's not the case because, for one, you have clearly Japan has had a declining birth rate for some time now, almost to the point where they're just giving money away to encourage women to give birth, and it's really tough in that society because of the incredibly high cost of living, and well, also that women don't want to, you know, just don't want to be, they want to have a career, you know.
I'm not sure I could answer on that. But
well, in terms of the declining population, well, I didn't expect you to talk about the small Wang issue.
But I will say that there was an article that I read recently that a friend of mine linked me to that where a man in Japan,
yeah.
He married a video game,
right?
And it was considered
legal. This sounds similar
legal
to the fact that I had heard a man had married a love pillow, and that was considered legal. You know, Yeah, you hear about those things from time to time. I mean, that's on top of, like, the occasional, you know, still, despite the economy being what it has been for some time, you know, you do hear about the occasional crazy-ass acts of violence. I mean, it's still pretty rare, but it does happen, and it's shocking. I know I've heard about it. You've definitely heard about it, I know. But it's still, you know.
And I'm sure these are, you know, greatly exaggerated, isolated incidents. I mean, can you imagine what Japan thinks of the United States?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that was, you know, talked about, especially 20, 25 years ago. You know, I mean, hell, I mean, Die Hard is what it is because, you know, of the, you know, huge, you know, Japanese influence at the time. I mean, once again, it was really thought that the Japanese were going to, you know, take over this country. I mean, that's the whole point of Rising Sun, which I tried watching on InstaView. The movie is utterly terrible. I read the books a time ago. Also utterly terrible. Once again, it's just funny how that didn't really happen, and then obviously China will be taking us over, but then India will come in to swoop in and usurp them. But other than that, you know, life has been, you know, treating you all right and all that. You know, things have been good.
Oh yeah, things have been pretty good. You know, I work, so
yeah,
it's
good to be employed.
Streets.
It's good to be employed. Because that the rent does not pay itself, and
no.
I like to think every time I've cut a rent check for the month, I've staved off homelessness for another 30 to 31 days.
And
that's
then,
the way.
And isn't that the American dream?
I like to think of it as
stave,
you know,
off homelessness.
I know the American dream is really to get your ass into a bunch of debt and then, you know, be mortgaged to the hilt. But I try to avoid that as much as I can. You know, being a Jew, I try to avoid that as much as I can. Even though I love ham, but. As for me, you know, as I like to say, I mean, in terms of my life philosophy, the pursuit of work and sex always continues. You know, trying to look for new work, never really happening, and then sex, also never really happening. But, you know, it doesn't mean I still can't have fun dealing with, you know, possible, you know, thing, you know, situations. I know there's one person, I'm not going to name names, you kind of know who this person is, you know, and I don't even know if it would be worth going into about that, but, you know, it's just dealing with the shenanigans of all that nonsense. You know, it's that kind of thing. How about you? I mean, obviously you don't want to, you know, go into too much of your personal life if you don't feel comfortable about that, but what about yourself?
I forgot what the question was.
I don't know. I was just talking about work and sex. It's basically my life's philosophy, so that's always the pursuit. That's always how it is. I mean, not literally always how it is, but that's the way I see things.
Well, I plead the Fifth Amendment.
Fair enough. That's you're under your legal rights to do so, and that is perfectly okay under this American justice system. And with that, we can, you know, finally move on. As for, you know, other than that, I got friggin' served with jury duty. I immediately yelled I immediately yelled fuck when I caught it.
What?
This is now the third time in 6 years I've had to get hit with this.
No,
so.
Jury duty is great.
Shut the fuck up. You don't mean that at all. Does your job pay for jury duty? Because mine doesn't.
Oh, okay. See, mine does.
Son of a bitch. Now, hopefully I'll be able to get out of it. Obviously, I'm not going to piss and moan about it, but it does happen during a furlough. Oop, dropped my mic. There was a furlough day here, at, you know, in the week I have to, you know, report. So, and then the other thing is at least it's mass transit accessible. So hopefully I can get out of it. Not so much for the fact I wouldn't be able to get paid because I have a shit ton of vacation time, even though I do not want my vacation time eaten into. But
Pardon me, I've been drinking Bass all day today. You have to deal with the fact my work doesn't stop, as you know, I imagine yours does. And
nope.
If you step away from your desk, I mean, this is why I haven't really taken a day off. You know, it's going to only get worse, and you're going to be stuck. So there's no that's the one thing I cannot, you know, and also being a single guy, you know, doesn't have much in the way of savings because this is L.A. and all that. You got to, you know, this is not a pleasant thing. But hopefully the odds are in my favor, and we'll have to take it from there. I mean, that's a month away. Other than that, I saw Kick-Ass, which I thought was pretty good. The last 30 minutes are the best. I would recommend it, but I don't think it's earth-shatteringly amazing. I do think it's very, very good. And, you know, Nick Cage, despite all of his shenanigans and the fact that he hasn't been able to unload his house, you know, has brought himself back on this one. I think, like I said, I recommend it, you know, and if you, it's, I never really read the comic, but I don't know if you had heard about it, but I do recommend it a lot. Did you have any thoughts on that or anything like that?
I actually haven't heard about the comic. I just thought it was a movie,
right?
And it didn't really look very good to me in the trailer.
Well, you got to keep in mind this was a self-financed movie. Now it's funny to say that it's self-financed. The fact that the Matthew Vaughn, this is the guy who did Layer Cake, and he did that movie with Stardust, I think it was. I think it was with Claire Danes and Michelle Pfeiffer as the Evil Witch.
Yeah.
And he self-financed this movie. Well, he got some investors together. It had no distributor. He got $30 million. I mean, this movie looks great for $30 million. And it's certainly impressive. Plus, I think there was some screenshot where the guy was playing Kick-Ass. And this guy is actually a Brit. He's 19. He's actually married and has a kid on the way.
At 19?
But the woman he married was 42. Yeah. So that's neither, you know, here nor there. But you know, this was very good, and I do recommend. The other two movies I know coming out this month I do want to see are The Losers, and I'm considering Nightmare on Elm Street. I know I've said this in other episodes, but I'm not a horror fan. I don't know about yourself.
Oh, I am.
Are you looking forward to the new Nightmare on Elm Street?
I am, actually. I was a big fan of the original. I saw the first four.
No kid.
Yeah, I saw the first four. And this is actually going to be the first one without Robert Englund.
Yeah, what is your thought? Because to me, I thought I've never watched Nightmare on Elm Street. I still haven't gotten around to it. I've heard it because it's done by the same people who did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. So there's going to be kind of a slickness to it. But I like the idea. I did like the way Jackie Earle Haley looked, and because he looked like a real burn victim, and it's definitely not appeared to be playing campy. I may actually see this in the theater if I get the nerve to check it out, because I've never seen a horror film in the theater. So I don't know. What about you? What did you think of that?
Well, I'm not a really big fan of remakes, but I did see Friday the 13th.
What did you think of that, actually?
I thought it was pretty good for a horror movie. Horror movies in general, I don't think are Oscar worthy, but they are good.
No. I don't believe a movie is good because it has won an Oscar. I mean, Crash has proven this fact, and there are other instances. I mean, I'm definitely, and I've said this before on other shows and other episodes and other podcasts, you know, basically I have had maintained a fuck the Oscars policy for years now. Awards don't mean anything. And horror, you know, does not need a golden, you know, statue of a naked dude holding his junk to prove its worth. I know there are good horror movies, much like there are great movies that have never been awarded. So that's not an issue of Oscars. I just know, for me, and I've said this before, is that genre is not something I particularly go for, and I'm trying to make some inroads to it, but it can be tough, you know. And you know, there's this other stuff I've been watching. You know, I've just been watching a lot of TV lately. I finished Breaking Bad season 2, which was amazing, and I just started Mad Men season 3. So, you know, I look forward to finishing. So there's that. Is horror a big thing of yours, or, you know, or is there anything in particular that you really like?
I'm actually a big fan of the bad horror movie genre.
Okay.
So all the Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, right. Halloween ripoffs that try to emulate it and fail miserably.
Now, it's funny you mention that, because there's actually, and I mentioned this in the last episode, there's a website called That Guy with the Glasses. .com. I don't know if you're familiar with this guy. He did the 5 Second Movies. He also does the Nostalgia Critic. There's a guy on there called the Film Snob, and he reviews the worst exploitation of horror movies there are. And these are things that are direct, you know, on video, bootleg, never been to the United States, under multiple titles, all sorts of things. The stories of the films themselves are more interesting than what goes on in the movie. That's how good there is. In fact, I just watched one today called Nailgun Massacre, and it is horrific. The movie starts with a gang rape right on film. I had never seen, you know, there's a very famous movie called I Spit on Your Grave, and that movie is known for that. But this movie called Nailgun Massacre is even worse. And it's just utter garbage. And I recommend checking out the Film Snob, just because he reviewed all the troll movies and all sorts of other garbage. I really recommend this guy, and I can't recommend him enough in terms of that sort of thing. But now, when you say bad movies, do you watch? Because I had talked about this with Randall, where there's this idea of so-called watching a movie ironically. To me, that's kind of a very odd, you know, I don't quite understand what that means. And for me, I want to watch a movie that's interesting. It doesn't mean, even if it's trashy, I'm going to have a good time and I'm going to enjoy it. Now, for me, if a movie is utter garbage and there's no redeeming quality, it's going to be boring to me. I don't know, what do you think, you know, how do you feel about that sort of thing? Do you ever, like, seek out the most random stuff? You know, it had a cool video box. Did you try and grab it?
Yeah, well, watching a bad movie, there's a difference between a good bad movie and a bad bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
So a good bad movie would be, I think a very famous one is called a Sleepaway Camp. I don't know if you've
heard
that one.
I've heard of this because of the infamous scene at the end with the where it's revealed that the girl is actually a guy. This is actually because I had watched The Crying Game some time ago. Now, obviously, now you're around the same age as me. You probably remember when The Crying Game was a huge controversy. A lot of people, I imagine, don't remember that movie is actually a thriller about the IRA that happens to have the whole transgendered angle. And, yes, they had that. The way that scene is shot in The Crying Game, as I've been told, is just like Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
Where they just pan down and you get a shot of the goods.
You're revealed.
Yes. I had heard that ending in Sleepaway Camp freaked a lot of people out. They lost their goddamn minds. I think part of that maybe just because of the fact you don't see a lot of male nudity on the screen, which is actually probably a good thing in a certain respect, but
tons of female nudity.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's generally of the horror of the 80s, you know,
right.
When the MPAA wasn't so strict. I recently watched a documentary called This Film Is Not Yet Rated, and the funny thing is that where they tried to profile the MPAA, this is the guy who did that documentary, did the documentary called Outrage, which I don't know if you had heard about closet politicians, but in terms of This Film Is Not Yet Rated, he actually went to the MPAA headquarters, which used to be the building right down the street from where I live. They actually now moved to a mall, which is also right down the street from where I live, and it is kind of funny that to see that building profile when I'm like right down the road. And you know, my friend Randall knows when that I think either interned for them or still works for them. But I do recommend that documentary. That's a good one. Basically about the weird ass nature of how things are rated. But that's like to say a tangent. But yeah, Sleepaway Camp. How'd you like that one? Was that good?
That was actually a favorite of ours during my friends and I. We formed in college a bad movie club.
Really?
We actually got funding from the school to rent our DVDs that we would find at 99-cent stores.
You'd have to go to a 99-cent store, I know there was, you know, you have a couple of
Blockbuster.
Unique, maybe Blockbuster, but also some of the, it's rare, but you do come across them, the local video stores, which, I mean, that's kind of died out. But they do come up every so often. I the names escape me right now, but they do exist still. Although most of their stock is devoted to porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But about this bad movie. Were you president of Bad Movie?
No. It was actually a friend of mine who started it.
Mm-hmm.
They had been driving around looking for something to watch, and they found this movie called The Last Slumber Party.
Okay.
Which, in the history of bad movies, I would say outranks Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Really?
Yes.
Now, when you watched the Bad Movie Club, did you sit down, did you watch? I mean, you were laughing it up, you had a good time, but you didn't try to, did you try pulling a Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Oh,
really?
Of course.
Now, for me, I that's kind of tough. Because, I mean, we all, you know, when you first discovered Mystery Science Theater 3000, you want to, like, you know, try to talk back to every movie you saw. Unfortunately, you don't have the wherewithal to realize at the time that's kind of very obnoxious. And also, if you're not funny, it's
tough. Can be, yeah.
It can be very, very annoying. So for me, I'm like, I enjoy, you know, I mean, I when I was at the New Beverly some time ago, I saw Soylent Green. And we were, you know, I was in, like, a few people and we were in the audience. We were laughing it up. Maybe we'd occasionally throw a comment, but we wouldn't talk back to the screen. So you got to be careful because it can be kind of really obnoxious. That's why I've never gone, like, did you ever see The Room or go to a Rocky Horror thing or anything like that?
Yeah, the Rocky Horror, I have been.
But you've never seen The Room?
No.
Okay, I've never seen The Room, but I know people do go to see, you know, talk back at the screen. For me, I'm not a fan of that. And I saw Rocky Horror, like, several years ago, and I'm like, obviously the hype kind of ruined it for me, but I'm not a huge musical guy. I think the only musical I've liked so far has been Cannibal the Musical. So that's really been... Oh, and... Well, maybe all that jazz is also...
Chicago?
I never saw Chicago.
Oh.
But I did like All That Jazz, although I think they only had one dance number, but that was Roy Scheider, you know, pushing to the limit, you know, living life to the fullest kind of thing. And I saw footage of that in a bar in West Hollywood, and I was like, what the hell is that? And then my former friends were like, oh, that's All That Jazz. I'm like, really? So... Because I like two of my favorite pastimes are drinking and watching random footage while I'm drinking. So it's, you know, I was like, oh my God, what is this movie? So I had to look it up and I saw it and it was something else. And especially because you didn't think Roy Scheider is a song and dance man. But yeah, about this Bad Movie Club, did this go all throughout your college life or is it still going on to this day or how did that work out?
It's kind of died off now.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, it's about to start back up again.
Good.
But. it lasted all throughout college. We would just find movies that we thought were horrible, and we would screen them first because, like I said, there is a difference between a bad movie and a good bad movie.
Yeah, because if the movie's bad and it's just boring, it's going to be excruciating.
But if it's well made, mm-hmm. that sort of ruins the fun of it. Like a good example for this is the Leprechaun series.
Okay,
there we saw Leprechaun.
Did you see Leprechaun in the Hood?
Yes, that's okay. The exact movie we saw. And it was literally the most boring thing in the world to watch.
Hmm.
We thought it would be great because the summary in the box said it was about wannabe rappers who try to make it big because they stole the leprechaun's gold.
Right.
And so throughout the movie, the leprechaun tries to steal it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember how this movie starts and ends.
I think it involves some shoes, at least.
I blocked it out.
Yeah, right.
But that is an example.
What about the one
really
of Leprechaun in Space?
Bad movie.
Did you see Leprechaun in Space? Or?
No, we forbade all Leprechaun movies.
You didn't see the Leprechaun with Jennifer Aniston in it, or because there is apparently one with her in it.
Yeah, the first one I think.
Oh, okay.
No, we refuse to see all those.
Okay.
But anything that involves science fiction, or one of the movies we saw was called Chatterbox. Which is about a woman's talking vagina.
Oh, okay.
It is a sassy.
What year? Oh, was it? Was
it is so a sassy.
It had the voice
talking.
So it had the voice of a black man, basically. Yeah, for the
no. It sounded like it was the voice of a Jewish woman.
Oh my God.
So
it's Barbara Streisand. Maybe Joy Behar.
Yeah. So. And she would basically just like sass off any man who like tried to.
They didn't show this thing, so basically they would pan. It would kind of like be in South Park. They would just pan down to the crotch. You'd hear a voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I'm not sure if there was any nudity in that one.
I hope to hell there wasn't.
It was. But yeah, it was a very hilarious bad movie.
What decade was this movie from? Is this from
probably
the
80s? From the 80s or 70s.
Okay, that makes
that
sense.
It's like the golden age of bad movies, in my
right.
opinion.
Well, that's when you had the great Canon group. You know, mm-hmm. Golan, Globus, and those
the cheesy
guys.
80s slashers.
Yeah, yeah, to make a profit on all the great, you know, 80s hits. You know,
recently, we've been, like, branching out to modern-day movies. One of our more recent ones was Lindsay Lohan's big film, I Know Who Killed Me.
Yeah, I heard about this. Like, are you familiar with then, because there's the Onion AV Club, which is the entertainment section of the Onion. There's a great series called My Year of the Flops.
No.
And there's a guy by the name of Nathan Rabin. I know I've mentioned about this.
Okay.
And this guy will review the word, you know, he has a rating system for his bad movies. It's either fiasco, secret success, or failure. And he were just he had a big one on Lindsay Lohan's recent movies. I unfortunately haven't been able to access it because the link doesn't seem to work. But I discovered this guy when I read an article about Cruising, which is with Al Pacino. I don't know if you ever saw this movie. It's a terrible movie.
I've heard of it.
But it's of its time. That's the first thing.
He plays it like a prostitute?
He plays a cop that goes undercover under the S&M gays scene. And it's the only reason you'd want to see this movie, because the movie's terrible.
Okay.
But the only reason you'd see this movie is because, at least nowadays, we're not even talking about an ironic thing, which, I mean, the movie can be unintentionally hilarious for a lot of reasons, and it is, but it is certainly a window into a particular period of time. And it kind of reminds me of, basically, this was right before AIDS hit, so there was a lot of free sex going around. There's also a great documentary called Gay Sex in the 70s. It's a very cheap documentary, but basically it consists of a lot of guys in New York talking about basically of nonstop fucking. There were like these spots in New York. There were piers in Manhattan and trucks in the meatpacking district where they were packing meat. But, you know, that were basically, it was just nonstop fucking. And this is kind of what, unfortunately, this is what led to, you know, a lot of diseases breaking out. So but that's all they did.
So this is kind of like a porno movie.
This
movie
is not a porno movie. Cruising is not a porno movie because it's a rated R movie. And
all the sex is implied then.
Well, Al Pacino doesn't have any sex with it. Doesn't have sex with anyone. But there is a serial killer killing gay men who like wearing the leather hat.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
Also there is one scene. There's two scenes I can't forget. One scene involves basically when Al Pacino walks into the club, and you see a guy. There's a shot of a guy basically coating his fist in Crisco, which was absolutely horrifying to watch. Because this is a very interesting thing, and I learned about this because I read a memoir written by my bartender. Back in the day, before there was, you know, they actually, you know, when people used lube, you know, gay, straight, whomever, when they would use lube, they would use baby oil, or, especially when I've spoken to a bunch of gay guys about this that were of that time, they would use Crisco. Or butter. Basically, they would pull some from Last Tango in Paris. They would use Crisco, and you would smell. It would just, oh god, that would horrify the holy hell of me. Because they would talk about like these bathhouses, and you would just smell it coming at down the hall. It was like, oh god, and that's what people would use, and it would be. And so there's that scene in Cruising, and then I know the other scene, and I know I mentioned this, is where the cops pick up this guy they think is a suspect, but they also pick up Al Pacino because he was in the room. So they want to make this guy think that Al Pacino was just some innocent bystander. So they have to play along. So out of nowhere, there's this large black dude wearing nothing but a jock strap and a cowboy hat comes out into the interrogation room, slaps Al Pacino, roughs him up, and then walks back out. I have seen this. This is the most random scene of all of cinema I have ever seen in my life. And the fact that no one else has seen this movie, at least of our age, I mean, this has to be seen, this movie. I'm telling you. I mean, it's a terrible movie.
Just so they can burn those two images in.
Exactly. And realize, and despite all of the prejudices that continue on to this day, people have it pretty good. I mean, you know, despite all of the other, you know, other health issues and all that. I mean, it's pretty good in that respect. At least that we've gone beyond
Crisco,
you know, having to use Crisco,
baby oil.
I don't think anyone ever used Pam cooking spray though. So I'm pretty sure they haven't.
God.
But I'm kind of awkward. I don't know why they would, but yeah, that's apparently what they use, and sounds absolutely horrifying. So yeah, I'm proud to say you never used a baking product in terms of getting it on, and hopefully you haven't used it either. But yeah, that's basically how it is, and you know, and as I said, life likes to continue. So unless there's anything else to talk about, you know, we got ourselves, you know, good length here, as I like to say, in terms of an episode. Is there anything else you want to talk about, or we could definitely you know, settle it here for now.
It's your show, so I will leave.
That's true. But you know what? I think we got ourselves something good here, and I think, you know what? If anything, I'd definitely like to have you back on.
Sure.
And we'll take it from there. So for that, for the Ed Hawkins Show, I'm Ed, and this is.
Oh, and I am Steve.
Yes, good to know.
Sorry.
And for that, quality is job one.